Isaiah 55:9. As the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. Isaiah 55:9. As the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. Isaiah 55:9. Isaiah 25:1. O Lord, thou art my God. I will exalt thee. I will give thanks to thy name, for thou hast worked wonders, plans formed long ago, and with perfect faithfulness. Isaiah 25:1. O Lord, thou art my God. I will exalt thee. I will give thanks to thy name, for thou hast worked wonders, plans formed long ago, and with perfect faithfulness. Isaiah 25:1. Matthew 6:20-21. Lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, for where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. Matthew 6:20-21. Lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, for where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. Matthew 6:20-21. Would you open your Bibles this evening, please, to the book of Luke, chapter 24, verse 39. We're going to try to do two things tonight. One is to complete the message of the last Sunday, the second service, and then give you information that we planned for this particular night a number of weeks ago, dealing with the resurrection of the grace believers. Luke chapter 24, verse 39. We spend a few moments in prayer before we begin our study, please. Tonight, Father, we're thankful again for your matchless grace. We're the recipients of your grace every single day. We appreciate salvation grace, living grace, dying grace, surpassing grace. All of the manifestations of your love and grace toward us, we express our deep thanks tonight for your care for us. Thank you for the opportunity to be here. Thank you for your word. Thank you for all the blessings of life. Pray that you will guide us in these moments of study. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Luke chapter 24, verse 39. You see it now on the screen. The Lord Jesus Christ said, "See my hands and my feet, that it is I myself. Handle me and see, because a spirit, flesh and bones does not have, as you see me having." We've already emphasized the fact that this is a magnificent verse, emphasizing the fact that the Lord Jesus Christ in resurrected humanity has hands and feet. And he says that right here. See my hands. This is a verb in the imperative mood of horao. We've already emphasized that for you. See my hands. See my feet. Then we have unique words here that it is I myself. I myself. We've already pointed this out, but I want to reiterate it for you this evening. And that is that we have a personal pronoun, I. And then we have the I me, the verb. And it is translated I, and then I myself. So we have an emphasis upon the fact that this is an aorist active imperative verb. Aorist tense means at a point of time. Active voice means the subject produces the action of the verb. The imperative mood is the mood of command. And we've already emphasized, and we repeat tonight, this is a beautiful word, the word horao, H-O-R-A-O. When you deal with that word, you think about horizon, all the way from looking at something from this side all the way to the other side, a complete look. See my hands, see my feet, that it is I myself. Then we have the word handle me and see, and that's interesting also because, as you can see, it is another imperative verb, aorist active imperative, and this says handle me and see because a spirit, flesh and bones, does not have as you see me having. I want to emphasize that last Sunday we had an insert in the bulletin and you saw the presentation that we gave you at the second session. We'll get back into that in a little while, but I wanted you to be able to see that you have four numbers on the insert that you have. There's a number in relationship to the age of Israel, number one. There's a number two in relationship to the rapture. There's a number three in relationship to the second advent. And then there is a number four at the end of the millennium. We'll talk about that in just a little while. On the screen now, you see, again, the dispensational line. You see the timeline, the age of the Gentiles, the age of Israel, the intercalated period, the church. You have the tribulation. You have the kingdom. Most of you are already very, very familiar with all of this emphasis. Now, what we want to do this evening is to continue where we left off last Sunday morning. We were emphasizing the death, the burial, and the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. We want to reiterate the fact that the death, burial, and resurrection of our Savior Jesus Christ gets us ready for heaven. In other words, a person is saved by accepting the gift of God through the Lord Jesus Christ. The death, burial, and resurrection of Christ gets us ready for heaven. You'll notice the second line here is that His life indwelling us makes us ready for earth. These two statements are extremely important. One is we must understand the fact that the Bible presents the plan of salvation that Jesus Christ is the only way. Jesus Himself said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except by Me. So all of us are aware of the fact that God gave His Son. Jesus Christ gave His life. There was the death, the burial, the resurrection, the ascension, the session. All of us are fully familiar, I believe, with the work of Jesus Christ on the cross. Also, I wanted to emphasize that His life indwelling us makes us ready for our time while we're here on the earth. It's very important for us to see that once we have been born into God's kingdom, we have the implantation of the Spirit of God, and Jesus said, I in you and you in Me. So He is indwelling us, and that makes us ready for the time that we have here on the earth. His death removes bitterness of death. His death removes the bitterness of death. All of us have experienced death with some loved one, but this makes us realize that the death of Jesus Christ removes the bitterness when we have a loved one to pass away. His life abounding in us removes the hopelessness and the barrenness of our life. These are very, very fantastic statements, and I just wanted to have you write them down if you haven't already done so. His death removes the bitterness of death. His life abounding in us removes the hopelessness and barrenness of our lives while we're here on the earth. What I tried to do last Sunday was to give you some words that you need to add to your vocabulary if you do not have them there. One of those words is the word resuscitation. The other word is the word resurrection. You have, I'm sure, the definition of these. But if you don't, I would encourage you to please place these two words in your vocabulary. Resuscitation means to revive from apparent death or from unconsciousness to die again. We emphasize this very definitely and emphatically that up to this point of time, in reality, there's only been one person to receive a resurrection body, and that person is the Lord Jesus Christ. We're aware of the fact that when you go into the book of Matthew, you'll discover that there are other people who came up at the time of the resurrection of Christ, but those people were resuscitated, not resurrected. That simply means what this definition says. It means to revive from apparent death or from unconsciousness to die again. The important statement now is the word resurrection. Resurrection means to receive a new house from the soul, which lasts forever. This is a fantastic statement. You ought to remember this. Resurrection means to receive a new house from the soul, which lasts forever. Only one person to this point of time in history has received a resurrection body. That's emphasized for us in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 20. And that person, of course, is the Lord Jesus Christ. Now we're going to go back to our verse of Scripture. See my hands and my feet, that it is I, myself. Handle me and see, because a spirit, flesh and bones, does not have, as you have seen me having. There are some important points that I failed to give you last Sunday, and I don't want us to go away without having these points about the resurrection. We're talking about the resurrection of our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. When you go to this passage of Scripture, which we've already given you several times tonight, Luke 24:39, this tells us that Jesus Christ retained the nail scars in his hands and feet. Jesus Christ retained in his nail scars in his hands and feet. He said, "See my hands and my feet, that it is I myself. Touch me and see, for a spirit does not have flesh and bones as you see that I have." As I think in terms of this, I want to tell you something that happens every year in the Philippine Islands, and that is what they have called the flagellantes. And some years ago, I was there at that Easter season, and I saw the manifestation of these individuals who whipped themselves and blood flowed from their backs, and they reenacted the crucifixion. I was close enough. I had a white shirt on at that time, and blood flowed from their backs onto my shirt. So next Sunday, as we begin the second session, we're going to start about 10 minutes early, and we're going to show you some movies in relationship to the flagellantes that's just taken place in the last few days in the Philippine Islands. Resurrection body of Jesus Christ, the body retained the nail scars and hands and feet, as illustrated in our verse of Scripture, Luke 24:39. The second point here is the resurrection body of Jesus was recognized by his disciples as one who died and rose again. Very, very important for you to put this down in your mind. Resurrection body was recognized by the disciples as the one who died and rose again. And that's found in Luke 24:34. The Lord has really risen and has appeared to Simon. And this is found in various passages like John 20:11-17 and 1 Corinthians 15:5-7. I've written myself a note to read these to you, but I won't do it because I do want to get to the second part of the message tonight. And so I'm just encouraging you, if you will, please, to write Luke 24:34, 1 Corinthians 15:5-7, and John 20:11-17. The third point is the resurrection body of Jesus Christ. After the resurrection, the Scripture reveals that he could eat. This is interesting. In Luke 24:42, they gave him a piece of broiled fish. And Luke 24:43 says, "And he took it and ate it in their sight." I don't know whether you're letting this do something for you. It should be, and so maybe it is, maybe it isn't. But since it is, I'm going to reiterate it to you. And if it isn't, I want you to be sure that you're understanding. You and I are aware of the fact that one day we're going to be the recipients of a glorified spiritual resurrection body. People have asked the question oftentimes, what kind of a body will it be? Well, we have an emphasis here on the fact that the Lord Jesus Christ says that he had really risen and appeared to Simon, and that after this he could eat. In Luke 24:42, they gave him a piece of broiled fish. In verse 43 of Luke 24 says, he took it and ate it in their sight. Very interesting. You ought to put that passage down and let that remind you of the future that you and I are going to have when we become the recipient of a glorified resurrection spiritual body. Number four, the resurrection body had flesh and bones, but no blood. We've emphasized that time and time again in the recent days as we looked at this particular passage of Scripture in Luke 24:39-40. Resurrection body had flesh and bones, but no blood. And Luke 24:39, we've been reading that here today. And verse 40, "And when he had said this, he showed them his hands and feet." And I'm aware of the fact that your Bible may not have all of this, but I just wanted you to see what Luke 24:40 is. "And when he had said this, he showed them his hands and feet." Number five, the resurrection body was a material construction and could be felt. This is revealed in Matthew 28:9. Jesus met them greeted them. They came up and took hold of his feet and worshiped him. Let's stop and let you look at that. The resurrection body was a material construction and can be felt. Matthew 28:9. Jesus met them, greeted them. They came up and took hold of his feet and worshiped him. John 20:17. Jesus said to Mary, "Mary, stop clinging to me, for I have not yet ascended to the Father, but go to my brethren and say to them, I ascend to my Father and your Father and my God and your God." Luke 24:39, again, we're reiterating that verse over and over again. Number 6, the resurrection body could breathe. And this is revealed in John chapter 20, verse 22. As the Father has sent me, I also send you. And when he had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, "Receive ye the Spirit." Number 6, the resurrection body could breathe. John chapter 20, verse 22. Number 7, the resurrection body could walk through doors. In John chapter 20, verse 19, when therefore it was evening on that day, the first day of the week, when the doors were shut where the disciples were, for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood in their midst and said to them, "Peace be to you." I'll back up just for a moment to let you see again that number 7, the resurrection body could walk through doors as revealed in John chapter 20, verse 19. When therefore it was evening on that day, the first day of the week, and when the doors were shut where the disciples were, for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood in their midst and said to them, "Peace be with you." Number 8, the resurrection body could appear and disappear. And I have it marked to read, so maybe you ought to turn with me to the book of Luke, and let's look at this particular passage of Scripture. Luke chapter 24, begin reading with verse 17. I'm going to give you time to find that passage. Mark it in your Bible. Luke chapter 24, 17 and following. I want you to know that I had it marked and then I covered it up, but I'm going to turn to it now. Luke chapter 24, beginning with verse 17. And he said to them, "What are these words that you are exchanging with one another as you're walking?" And they stood still, looking sad. Verse 18 now. And one of them, named Cleophas, answered and said to him, "Are you the only one visiting Jerusalem and unaware of the things which have happened here these days?" He said to them, "What things?" And they said to him, "The things about Jesus the Nazarene, who is a prophet mighty indeed in word in the sight of God and all the people, and how the chief priests and our rulers delivered him up to the sentence of death and crucified him. But we were hoping that it was he who was going to redeem Israel. Indeed, besides all this, it is the third day since these things happened." Verse 22, "But also some women among us amazed us when they were at the tomb early in the morning, and they did not find his body. They came saying that they had also seen a vision of angels who said that he was alive. And some of those who were with us went to the tomb and found it just exactly as the women also had said, but him they did not see. He said to them, 'O foolish men, slow of heart, to believe in all that the prophets have spoken. Was it not necessary for the Christ to suffer these things and to enter into his glory?' And beginning with Moses and with all the prophets, he explained to them the things concerning himself in all the scriptures." The resurrection body could appear and disappear as revealed in Luke chapter 24, verses 17 to 25. That brings us then to the last point, number 9. The resurrection body could move vertically or horizontally. The body of Jesus Christ could move vertically or horizontally. I don't know what this does for you in thinking about what you're going to be like, what I'm going to be like when we have resurrection bodies. The resurrection body can move vertically and horizontally. Acts chapter 1, verse 9. And after he said these things, he's lifted up while they were looking on, and a cloud received him out of their sight. That is a magnificent passage of Scripture in Acts chapter 1, verse 9. Now, let me tell you that when I make preparation for messages, I like to finish them. But normally I find myself not being able to do that. And last Sunday at the second session, it was really that way. I was not able to complete what I wanted to say. And so I've said it now in the first session of this two-session sermon this evening. I'm going to ask you now, if you will please, to turn to 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. We're going to be looking at two verses of Scripture. The first one is verse 14. The next one is verse 17. I'm going to encourage you, if you will, to open your Bibles to these verses of Scripture. I know that I have them on, will have them on the screen for you, but I'd like for you to open your Bible and take a look at these magnificent verses that we have for us this evening. The first one is 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, beginning with verse 17. Well, we begin with verse 14, and I'm going to put it on the screen for you to be able to see. If you'll remember, last Sunday at the first session, we emphasized that there is in the Scripture, a first resurrection and a second resurrection. The second resurrection has to do with all unbelievers. The first resurrection has to do with believers in four different categories. And what I've done, I've told you, and I will repeat this evening, that we have three major verses of Scripture that present these two resurrections. One of those is John 5, 24 to 29. You have this written from last Sunday. The next one is Daniel 12, verse 2. And the third one is Revelation 20, verses 6 and 13. Those are the three major verses that deal with the two resurrections. Now, when we come to the first resurrection, you remember that we had an insert last Sunday with these four different divisions. And so if you have a copy from last Sunday, fine. If you don't, just look carefully while I put this all on the screen for you this evening. First of all, we're going to take a look at 1 Thessalonians 4, 14, which you see on the screen. It says, "For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, so also the ones having slept through Jesus, God will bring with him." Most of us here this evening are familiar with this passage of Scripture because we've read it and heard it many, many times. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, the Apostle Paul is saying, "I don't want you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning those which have died, those which are asleep, that you sorrow not even as others which have no hope." Now, the passage of Scripture, and I need to give you a little background, there were people who had passed away, and they were their loved ones were very alarmed and concerned about the fact, would they ever see their loved ones again? And so the Apostle Paul comes on the scene to tell these Philippian believers, Thessalonian believers in this case, not to be ignorant in relationship to the fact that when a loved one passes away, they are absent from this body and at home with the Lord. And so when you go to 1 Thessalonians 4, 14, the Apostle Paul is saying, "For we believe that Jesus died and rose again, so also the ones having slept through Jesus will God bring with him." And I want to be sure that you see all of that verse. Jesus, God will bring with him. Now let's stop a few moments and exegete the verse of Scripture. The first thing that I see when I look at the verse is that it has what is known as a post-positive conjunctive particle, gar. I know that you're very excited about hearing that, but I want you to be able to see that the second word, which is translated first, is this post-positive conjunctive particle, gar. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again. Now, with the word believe here, as you can see, is the word pisteuo. Some say pisteo, but it's okay either way you want to say that. The word faith is the word pistos. It's a noun, P-I-S-T-O-S. When you take it and it becomes a verb, It is P-I-S-T-E-U-O, which you see here on the screen. If we believe, maybe we will, maybe we won't, but if we believe that Jesus died and rose again. Now, let's take a look at those words. We have an emphasis upon death, and we have an emphasis upon rising again. We have an emphasis on the fact that the word for death is apothenesco, and so we have a word that means to die. It emphasizes at a point of time, the aorist tense, the active voice, the subject produces the action, the indicative mood is the mood of reality. This emphasizes the fact that Jesus died on the cross for the sins of the world and rose again. Then we have the word anastasis, or as anastasime, in which is, the again, aorist, active, indicative, point of time, subject produces the action, indicative mood, the mood of reality. This is saying that Jesus died and rose again. If we believe that Jesus died and rose again, then it says, so also, there's so also, the ones believing, having slept through Jesus Christ, will God bring with him. And then we have down here a future tense verb. Now that is verse 14. Look, if you will, now at verse 17. The Apostle Paul goes on to say in this magnificent passage of Scripture, then we, the living ones remaining, shall be caught up, seized, that's an emphasis upon the rapture, together with them in the clouds, to a meeting of the Lord in the air, and so always with the Lord we shall be. Now, what I'd like for you to do is just take a few moments and look at the diagram that you had in the bulletin last week. And if you don't have that, let me just tell you that we have an emphasis upon those four different points of the resurrection. First of all, there's resurrection number one. If you're looking at it on your chart, fine. If you don't, write you one. There is an age of the Gentiles, the age of Israel. Jesus Christ came on the scene in the age of Israel, lived in the age of Israel, died in the age of Israel, was buried in the age of Israel, came forth out of the grave in the age of Israel. So the Lord Jesus Christ is the first person to have a resurrection body. And we have a number of scriptures here. Romans 1, 4, 1 Thessalonians 1, 10, 2 Timothy 2, 8, 1 Peter 1, 3, and 1 Corinthians 15, 23. I'm not going to take the time to go into all these verses, but I would encourage you to, if you'll take the insert that you received last Sunday, and just go ahead and write on it and put these verses down below. So we have the emphasis on the first resurrection, and that is the Lord Jesus Christ, the first person to have a resurrection body. Now, this should excite everyone in this auditorium and everyone listening to my voice, and that is, point two is an emphasis upon the second division, the second battalion, second order of the first resurrection, and that is the rapture of the saints. The next group of people to have resurrection bodies will be the believers of the church age at the time of the rapture of the saints. This is so neat. I've just been reading from 1 Thessalonians 4, and you can read 13 through 18, which includes 14 and 17, which I've read for you this evening. 1 Corinthians 15, 51 to 57, Philippians 3, 20 and 21, 1 John 3, 1 and 2, that's a magnificent passage of Scripture. We know that when he comes, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. You and I are going, as he has a resurrection body, you and I are going to have a resurrection body one of these days. And so we have the next group of people to have a resurrection body will be the believers of the church age at the rapture of the saints. And I've just given you these verses. Let me do it again. 1 Thessalonians 4, 13 through 18. 1 Corinthians 15, 51 to 57. Philippians 3, 20, 21, for me to live, Christ, die again. 1 John 3, 1 and 2, and John 14, 1 through 3. So many of these verses you already have memorized. The third division you'll see is a group will be made up of Old Testament saints, plus the tribulation of martyrs, the martyrs of the tribulation. Now, if you're looking at your diagram, you're seeing a part one, which is the first division of the first resurrection. Number two, the second division of the first resurrection. Number three, you'll see the third division of the first resurrection. You'll see where they are coming along the way. The third group will be made up of Old Testament saints. You've got to think about this. Old Testament saints plus the martyrs of the tribulation. Isaiah 26:19-20. Revelation 20:4. Matthew 24:31. Now that takes us to number four of this first division of first resurrection. The fourth group to receive resurrection bodies will be all the millennial saints, plus those who were alive who entered into the millennium at the second advent. And this is the second advent. Okay, you have to understand that I'm excited about this information, and I have some points to give you, and I want you, please, to get these. We're going to be caught up together with Him. That's what is emphasized at the time known, we call it the rapture. 1 Thessalonians 4:14, verse 17, we've put those on the screen for you. Believers, number one, will be caught up at the end of the church age, those who've died and those who are alive. That's the reason why this Thessalonian passage says the dead in Christ shall rise first. I don't think God is unfair to those of us who may be remaining at that time, and I take it that we maybe conclude that we may be the ones remaining, which would be nice if that happens, because you won't have to go through the experience of physical death. But anyway, someone said, I think it was R.G. Lee or someone said, don't worry about that. When a lady came up and said, I think it's a little unfair for the Lord to say that the dead in Christ will rise first and then we will be caught up. And he says it takes just a few seconds for the bodies to come up to where we are, and so we'll all go together. Well, that's, I think R.G. Lee said that. So that's okay with me. Believers will be caught up at the end of the church age, those who've died and those who are alive. Have you ever stopped to think about this? Are you aware of the fact that the rapture could occur at any moment and you can move out of this body and be changed in a moment in a twinkling of an eye? You need to stop and think about that. Okay, number two. At this time, our Lord will only be visible to believers and will not set His foot on the earth. This is revealed to us in 1 Thessalonians 4:17, which we've studied here this evening, in Acts 1:11. Number three, the rapture and the second advent of the Lord Jesus Christ are two separate events. I'm going to go slowly again to let you see that this is a powerful statement that you and I must be aware of. The rapture and the second advent of the Lord Jesus Christ are two separate events. You go back to our picture. You'll notice here that there's an emphasis on the first part of the resurrection, Jesus Christ, believers of the church age. At the end here is the Old Testament saints, tribulational martyrs. Then you have an emphasis upon the fourth division. The rapture and the second advent are two different separate events. I say this over and over again. Let's look at it. At present, we are in the dispensation known as the church age, and we do not know when this age will end. At the present time, you and I are living between Pentecost and the rapture. So that means that we're living in the time of the dispensation known as the church age or the intercalated period. We do not know when this age is going to end. It could be any time real soon. Could be a long time from now. Number five, the day of the rapture, which will occur at the end of the church age, is the first day of the 7-year period known as the Great Tribulation. You need to take time to write this so that you can remember. The day of the rapture, which will occur at the end of the church age, is the first day of the seven-year period known as the Great Tribulation. Actually, the first part is presented to us, and the last 3.5 years referred to as the Great Tribulation. Number 6, the second coming of Christ, the second advent, will occur on the last day of the tribulation period and will usher in the 1,000-year reign of Jesus Christ. The second coming of Christ, the second advent, will occur on the last day of the tribulation period and will usher in the 1,000-year reign of Christ. Number 7. In the scripture, we have emphasis on the two words, caught up. The word rapture is an interesting word. It is not in the Greek of the New Testament, but the word caught up is definitely there. And so let me just give you some points. Number 1, under number 7. The Lord Jesus Christ promised that he would come to get us. Let not your hearts be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I'll go to prepare a place for you, and I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. So we have a promise there, promised by the Lord Jesus Christ, just before the time of the crucifixion. Subpoint 2 under number 7. At this time, he keeps his promise and fulfills the prophecy. This, number 3, time completes the redemption of the body, and the believer receives the resurrection. This is presented to us in Philippians 3, 20, 21, and 1 John 3, 1 and 2. I'm going to ask you now, if you will, please, to go with me to 1 Thessalonians. And we're going to see a magnificent passage of Scripture indeed. 1 Corinthians 15:51. I'm going to turn there and let you turn there. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 51. I'll read this now that you've found it. Behold, I tell you a mystery. We shall not all sleep. We shall all be changed. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet, for the trumpet will sound, and the dead will be raised imperishable, and we shall be changed. Verse 53, for this perishable must put on the imperishable, this mortal must put on immortality. Verse 54, but when this perishable will have put on the imperishable, and this mortal will have put on immortality, then will come about the saying that is written, in Isaiah 25:8, death is swallowed up in victory. And then we have from Hosea 13:14, O death, where is your victory? O death, where is your sting? The sting of death is sin. The power of sin is the law. But thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that your toil is not in vain in the Lord. Interesting words that are now found. For instance, in our passage of Scripture, I've just read to you the word mystery. The word mystery means hidden from Old Testament saints. You want to write that one down? Mystery, mysterion, hidden from Old Testament saints. Have you heard me teach this in past days? It's beautiful. You see a valley, and I picture it as a mountain, a valley, and a mountain. And I see over here the prophets of the Old Testament, and I find out what they could see and what they couldn't see. They could see a lot of things, but they couldn't see down here. They could see over here and over to the top of that other mountain. Most of you remember this, that over the years I presented this to you, and I've given you verses of Scripture, where in the Old Testament you would discover that if the hidden message had been there, it would have been between certain verses of the Old Testament. And in some cases, it's amazing to me to discover that had the mysterion concept been presented by the prophets, in some cases it would have been inserted in the midst of one particular verse. In other words, the verse would not have been completed without that message of the mysterion being placed there. So the prophets didn't have all that information. So that's the reason why you have the word mystery. We also have the words, we shall all be changed. And that's interesting to me because it says, we shall be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye. Now, I've had some eye things to think about. And I want you to understand that the twinkling of an eye is, while I've been talking, your eyes, you've batted your eyes several times. That's pretty fast. In a moment, twinkling. That means an instant. Then it says, the dead shall be raised incorruptible, which means no decay, no sin, no death. The scripture goes on to say, we shall be changed, which means new physical body, new personal attributes. And then it says, the corruptible will put on incorruption, which means no sin nature. Then it says, mortal will put on immortality. The believer will not die but receive immortal body. And so I put in capital letters, this is a rendezvous for living and for the dead. A rendezvous. Can you imagine how that great set is going to be? Then I put down number 8, future hope. This passage of Scripture, which we read a few moments ago, it talks about the sting of death being removed. Did you notice that I quoted from the Old Testament, Isaiah 25:8 and Hosea chapter 13, verse 14? In fact, that's what you have quoted here in the book of Corinthians. Death is swallowed up in victory. That's a quote from Isaiah 25, verse 8. O death, where is your victory? O death, where is your sting? Hosea chapter 13, verse 14. Sting of death removed. Then something else. Despair of bereavement taken away. Despair of bereavement taken away. Think about it. Have we lost loved ones? The despair of bereavement taken away. 1 Thessalonians 4:13-18. Number 3, subpoint, confidence, stability, blessing, peace, a relaxed mental attitude, enjoyed. Because of what you and I know about what God has done and is doing for us and will do for us, we have confidence, we have stability, we have blessing, we have peace, we have the ability to live our lives with a relaxed attitude, no matter what the circumstances are. Number 4, the scripture says we have reservation already made in heaven. 1 Peter 1:4, Ephesians 2:6. And then also, number 5, in John 14, a mansion with Christ has prepared in advance. I've said this many times, and I repeat this evening, I promise you, whatever God does, He does it right. And whatever He's prepared for us for the future, you better believe it, it's going to be wonderful. No one can do what our Heavenly Father has done and is doing for us. And we're going to be leaving here one of these days, either by physical death or by the rapture. And the Bible says to be absent from this body is to be at home with the Lord. Think about it. Be appreciative of what God has done and is doing and will do for all of us. May we bow for a moment of prayer. Father, we're thankful this evening for the assurance that we have in our hearts because of the greatness of the Word of God and our God Himself, that one day, we do not know just when, we will be absent from this body and will be at home with our Lord. We're thankful for that assurance. We realize that everything you do for us, no matter what it may be in life, is fantastic. Because the scripture says we know that all things do work together for good to those who love you and those who are called according to your purpose. It doesn't say to us that everything is going to be A-OK with no problems, no difficulties, no burdens, no trials or tests. It doesn't say that. It says, for we know that all things work together for good to those who love God and those who are called according to his purpose. Father, we're thankful this evening for salvation through Jesus Christ. And for those who hear this message, no matter where they are, we realize that the message may be going out to someone in some distant place today. They can come to know Jesus Christ personally if they'll only do what the scripture says. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and you shall be saved. The Heavenly Father loved us so much that he was willing to give his Son. And Jesus Christ, the pre-existent Christ, was willing to express his love for us in such a way that he was willing to become the God-man, to go to the cross and die for our sins. So tonight, we're thankful for the salvation that we know through Jesus Christ. And we pray that there will be those, even now, who will accept you as their personal Savior. The Bible says, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and you shall be saved. We don't want to try to change that. It says what it says, and it says what it means. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, you shall be saved. Father, we're thankful for salvation through Jesus Christ, and pray that there will be those, even at this moment, who will make that major decision in life to accept Jesus as their personal Lord and Savior. And we thank you for every blessing. In Jesus' name, amen.